right, back here in the big show, it's Patriots Money. We're live down here at Gillette Stadium. It's time for Coffee with the Coach. Coffee with the Coach brought to you, as always, by Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin' Donuts. Hey, Bill, how are you today?
Good, good. Glenn, how about yourself?
We're doing all right.
Pete,
a little worried.
Fred,
we're a little worried about Fred. You haven't heard anything through the transactions or anything, have you? Because
I might be gone.
Jim Haslett has taken over
his buddy Jim.
Out in St. Louis. We're afraid that we're going to lose Fred. We're really worried about it, Phil. We're going to lose Fred.
Get your bids in now, because Sudbury Patriots are
worried or hoping.
All right. Zoe's out in the back room, just warming up his voice.
Just
right
keeping
now.
An eye on everything.
Well, you look all tanned. You look all tanned and relaxed and refreshed. Would you go to Florida for a week or something? Enjoy your
Chelsea
suntan booth.
Yeah. No, I sure didn't. But you know, it's good to have a couple days break and sit back and watch a few games yesterday and start getting ready for the 49ers. I mean, we worked on them last week, but really hit the game planning hard yesterday. So that's good. It's good to be back on the field today. I feel like we got a lot of energy, and it's good to get going again.
What a bizarre year. Do you think, you know, Denver, you got these teams undefeated and teams not – you ever seen a year that there's really no solidified – you know, anyone can beat anyone on any given day, more so this year than the last couple of years, because you had true guys that could win. Kansas City was considered a great the worst team, and Denver was up there. Next thing you know, 33 points against Denver.
It's – seems like it's like that every week, but it this weekend it just epitomized that. You know, you had Oakland up 15-0 at the half over San Diego, and you had St. Louis up over Buffalo, and you know, the Denver Kansas City game, that was an exciting game, and it was a wild weekend. It was a wild weekend.
The Redskins too, after the week one, that coaching debacle by Zorn, but you always say, gotta wait 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks.
Well, you always say 8 games.
Fire
now. And then, you know, that was another one where you get Washington down there trying to, you know, control the clock at the end of the game. Dallas stops them, 12 guys on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just a lot of turnovers, 35 points by Arizona in the second half against the Jets. It was a wild day.
How much of this is guys getting to know each other, newer coaches, systems or whatever, and how much of is it you lost, you know, arguably your best offensive player in the first week of the season? Other teams are going to lose players. We saw some players go down yesterday, and it's a matter of whether the guys on that depth chart can raise their game up to that level as to whether your team can stay afloat.
Well, yeah, I think it's some of that. Glenn, also think it's just, you know, it's one or two plays. I mean, a turnover, you know, a good catch, a drop ball, a missed block, a missed tackle. You know, you look at those games and, you know, a couple turnovers one way or the other, and there's a big difference. I mean, even in the San Francisco-New Orleans game, they give up a long pass. San Francisco gives a long pass before the half. That was a big play. And then they turned over twice in the red area. But, I mean, it's a competitive game. You know, Arizona, 450 yards offense, 7 turnovers. So... I think that's the way it is in the National Football League every week, though. You know, you better be ready to play. You better be ready to play well. And there's going to come down to a few key plays in the game, and you need to make those to win. And if you don't make them, you're probably not going to like the result.
We brought up the St. Louis game. They were ahead to come out, and they threw an interception for a touchdown.
They're ahead in the fourth quarter.
They score. How many points? 18 points in the fourth quarter of the Bills?
Right, so they're ahead in the fourth quarter and throwing an interception for a
big
touchdown.
Big interception that turned the game.
Yeah, once you lose momentum, everything kind of starts, you know, it snowballs.
Yeah.
And the Bills have been, I think they, same thing, the Jaguars are behind. They're behind against the Raiders by 15 points also.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a team that's just been sticking with it, being consistent, not making those big plays that kill you.
Well, even in the Houston-Jacksonville game, I happened to watch the end of that one, and it's second and goal, and Houston comes up, and it's an all-out blitz. And I'm thinking, they hope they don't have the quarterback draw on here. They'll just run it right into an 8-man blitz. And they ran it, and he walked right in.
Mm.
So, and then Houston came back and tied it up. So
it's kooky.
One or two plays.
You find yourself, when you watch film, do you have a beer and chicken wings, or do you have the notebook, even though you're watching them and trying to take notes?
Well, we were working on the game plans and stuff on San Francisco yesterday. So, you know, I took a little break from time to time to watch a little bit of the game, but it was really a San Francisco day.
How was the mindset of the players, you know, in practice today?
Good. You know, I thought everybody came in with a little bit of energy. You know, fresh little break from football was good, probably for all of us. You know, through the weekend. And, you know, now we're ready to go. And, you know, we we've got a lot of respect for the 49ers. They're certainly improved a lot over last year. And, you know, we know we're going to have to go out there and play a good football game, but we're, I think we're getting ready to do it.
How much will be copycat from people see what Miami did and trying to emulate that, or the that was a one-time thing that...
Well, you know, I don't, that's hard to tell, Fred, you know, when you're... As you know, when you're on the defensive side of the ball, you can do is react to what they do. When you're on the offensive side, you can control the ball and who gets it and what plays you want to run. So we'll just have to react to it. But, you know, Mike Martz has had a lot of success with his offense through the years. I can't imagine him, you know, deviating too much from that. But I'm sure we'll, you know, we'll certainly have to be prepared to see some element of that, you know, that type of offense. And Mike's done a little bit of that in the past, too, where he's had – you know, Marshall Faulk at quarterback, or even they've done it this year with Gore. So,
was there any particular point of emphasis this week with the offense, whether it's the passing game, the running game, or anything in particular?
You know, we really try to work on everything, Steve. We worked on our first down stuff, our third down, red area, blitzes. So, and the same thing on defense, you know, red area defense, third down defense, first and second down. You know, gadget formations, gadget plays, things like that. So we, you know, I feel like we kind of need to stay to work on everything. And so we tried to, you know, take 2 days and make sure that we got kind of hit everything and didn't just work on one specific thing and then come back at the end of the week and say, well, you know, we caught up on this, but, you know, now we kind of haven't done anything for a week on something else. I think it's too early in the season.
What you've seen of O'Sullivan, how is he unique? What does he bring to the table that maybe some other quarterbacks don't? And I know a lot of people around here are not familiar
with
him.
Who do we compare him to?
Would you compare him to?
That's my lawyer.
From what you've seen so far.
Well, I think similar to the other quarterbacks that Martz has had. He's got a good arm. You know, we had him here. He's got a good arm. He's athletic. And, you know, he scrambles well and keeps his eyes downfield. So I think he can make all the throws. I mean, he's got a live arm. And, you know, Bulger and Warner and, you know, Kitna and all those guys had that, some more mobile than others. But you got to be able to throw the ball deep in Martz's offense. You got to be able to throw posts and goes and deep comebacks and those 20-yard in cuts. And, you know, you got to be able to throw it. And certainly JT can do that.
He had great success in the first quarter yesterday. Then the Saints started blitzing him
an awful lot.
But very good, Fred. But the one thing I noticed about him, Bill, is that he makes some phenomenal plays. If you don't get him in that blitz and get him initially, he gets free, and he's very, very dangerous because he doesn't give up the ball. It seems to me like he just holds on to that ball as the traffic is coming at him.
Get some strength.
Right, and I think that's a little bit characteristic of Mike Martz's offenses, that they'll take a few more sacks, but on the flip side of it, they'll have, you know, more big plays passing down the field, and there have been plenty of years where they've led the league in that, you know, 20, 25-yard completions. And, you know, they won't throw some checkdowns, but they're not really a ball possession type of passing team. They're a team that chucks it down the field. And so, okay, they'll take a sack here and there, but, you know, second and 18, that doesn't really bother them because they can hit an 18-yard in cut or an 18-yard comeback or, you know, an 18-yard seam route and pick it up in one down. So down and distance isn't a huge factor in their offense or in their play calling. They can get those chunks of yardage if they need them. And, you know, third and 9 or third and 15, I don't think they really care that much. I'm sure they'd rather have it 9 and 15, but it doesn't affect the plays. And if they hit them, it's going to be 9 or 15. They're going to pick it up anyway.
How much difference is the offense from what he ran with the other teams he was with? Is there
I don't think there's really any difference. I think the difference is just the personnel. And, you know, when he had Marshall Faulk, he – utilize Marshall Faulk. Now he's got Vernon Davis, who runs 4-4-something at tight end. He utilizes him a little bit differently. And, you know, Gore is a different back than Marshall Faulk was. So I think he utilizes his personnel well and gives his playmakers an opportunity to make plays. And, you know, some guys are a little better at some things than others, and he tries to put them in those positions. But fundamentally, I think the offense is the same.
Knowing how you know Mike over the years and how – as a coordinator, as a head coach, can you play off that as far as, even though Gore is a formidable back, but Martz likes to throw. And I'm just saying this for me. Sometimes I think he's let his ego get in the way. If he thinks he can just throw every single time. Can you play off
and
that?
And you're an expert on egos.
Well,
you're good at that.
He works for you.
Exactly.
That for you. Can you play off that and use that to your advantage? Like, even if the running game might be going well early, he still wants to throw all the time, it seems. A lot of his games.
Well, I would say this year, that's been a little bit less true, Pete, because the running game has been effective.
Yeah, yeah. Because Gore is
and so I think if Gore is going good, he's going to balance it. Believe me, if the running game is going good, everybody loves to call running plays. The problem with the running game is when you're calling plays, you gain 1 yard, it's second and nine. You gain another yard, it's third and eight. How many of those can you keep calling? You know, and that's frustrating when you want to run the ball, but you're gaining 1 or 2 yards. You know, it's how many of them can you call? You can't. I mean, you can call 30 of those and gain 30 yards, 40 yards, and it just so it's just too many plays. So I think as long as it's going good, any coordinator or any play caller would like to run the ball. If it's not going well, then just how many of those can you commit to? And that's really the question. But I mean, I think Mike really likes to be balanced, and they've run. I think this year they're within 10 or 15 plays of being balanced between their running and passing game. So, you've got to respect both. You certainly got to respect Gore, and you got to respect their downfield passing game and their receivers and their tight ends. So, they do it all. They might do a little more or a little less against one or the other against us, but getting ready for the game, you got to prepare for all of it. And it gives you so many formations and personnel looks that you can't just zero in on anything.
Have the Niners improved their defense at all?
I think they have, Steve. They got a very experienced secondary, with Roman and Lewis at safety and Clements and Harris and at the corners and they picked up Spikes, and so he's playing more for him at linebacker along with Manny Lawson and of course Willis. Up front they drafted a kid Ballmer from North Carolina, and a couple of their younger guys have really started to come along a little bit, and so they're strong. They have a strong front. The linebackers are athletic. They're very experienced in the secondary. Terrell Brown, a kid they drafted out of Texas last year, has kind of moved in as their third corner now. And so they're getting a couple of young guys in there, and then they've got a good veteran presence, especially in the secondary.
Well, it's not a team we watch all the time, so.
It isn't. It's funny, and we don't see them very much either. A lot of times you just kind of cross over. You're watching Buffalo or Miami or Indianapolis or Pittsburgh or those teams, and they bump up against them. But it's a team that we're really not very familiar with either. And as a coaching staff and our players, we really have to work hard this week to not only know the tendencies of the team, but to know the strengths and weaknesses of the individual players.
Bennekane? Is he still? He's on
yeah,
the
he's
team,
on,
right?
Yeah, he's on there.
Yeah, Tully. He's been inactive for a few weeks here, but we watched him on film in the off season, and we know what he's capable of. He's certainly a big guy that's athletic and is a good upfield pass rusher. And so, he's one of the few guys we do know on that team pretty well.
You don't see them much, they see you on TV, but they don't play. Who does that work for? Is it equal or the more experienced team have an advantage when you don't see a team very much in preparation?
Well, I would say probably the team that does a better job of preparing. I mean, neither team knows each other real well. It's not like a division game where you're playing them twice a year, but both teams have the same opportunity time-wise to prepare, and whichever team's able to come out ahead on that, I think that's an advantage. Now, you still have to, play in the games and make plays, but as far as the preparation goes, I think you can win that preparation battle during the week.
You're staying out there in between the two West Coast games.
Right. We're going to, after the San Francisco game, we're going to stay in San Jose and practice there and then go down and play San Diego.
And when you looked at that schedule at the beginning of the year and you said, all right, I know I've got four West Coast games, it's two back-to-back, and then December we get two back-to-back. Was that something that came right to your mind, this is what we need to do?
Well, it actually, I'm not sure exactly how it worked, but there's a little bit of a scheduling preference on that. And if you wanted back-to-back West Coast games, that, they if they could do it, they'd try to do it or whatever. So
that seems to be
rather than shoot back and cross country four times, we're just doing it twice. But anyway, in the end, I think it just comes down to getting ready to play and playing well. Whether we practice here or practice somewhere else, or practice on Mars. If we have a good week of preparation and we're ready to go and we play well, I think we'll be all right. If we don't, no matter where it is, then we'll probably be in trouble.
I know we did it one time I think it was in 89 with the Giants. It was, we went to Arizona, then to Los Angeles. But
that was a disaster.
That didn't work out too well.
Didn't work out
so
well.
Did you practice at Stanford?
No, we practiced at
Scottsdale
Community College.
Was that lack of preparation?
No, the problem was there were,
were
40,
chasing around the streets?
No, there were $49 round-trip flights to Vegas every half hour.
Vegas,
that was the problem. But
came and gone 10
but,
times.
But, yeah, that's, believe me.
I'm losing. Why did
I got on the 7 a.m. flight thinking I was late, and half my team was on the flight already. You've been on these kind of scenarios before, and how do you keep your team from, you know, because a lot of
going
guys
to Vegas.
That's right. From going
just charter to Vegas so we don't have to fight the.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Well, no, I think that that's something that, you know, we have to, you know, we've talked a little bit about, and I've talked with the captains about it, and, you know, everybody understands what the purpose of the trip is. I mean, it's, you know, we're going out there for business.
Right.
It's not a vacation. We're going out there for business. We've got a big job to do. And approach it, you know, like we do our other road trips. And we've had other games where we've been, you know, away for an entire week of preparation, postseason, stuff like that. So, you know, I want us to treat it the same way.
So it's not an uncommon scenario for, I'm sure a number of your players have been in the same situation. So,
well, I was certainly having the postseason.
Post-season,
you know, we've
right.
had those situations. Mm-hmm.
Would you have meals for them, like a buffet? Meal.
Why are you worried about the food?
Because I just popped in my head. Buffet.
Chicken wings.
No, but sometimes it keeps everyone at the practice.
Get the chicken wings.
Open chicken wings.
Yeah, we almost all we feed the team all the meals on the road. And
I wish I was playing.
That's
again.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, even if for the 2 weeks you're going to be out there, have a meal right after practice.
You're very concerned about this.
Yeah. No, we feed the team all the meals on the road, and you know, some guys eat them, some guys go out, but you know, our. Joel Totoro does a great job with our menu and the hotels and so forth, and you know, guys get used to certain foods and things they like, you know, whether it's routine or superstition or habit or whatever, and we get that stuff ready for them, and so, you know, they know it's there, they can count on it, and they're not, you know, out the night before getting something that, you know, doesn't sit well with them or whatever. So you know, if that's going to happen, we're better if that happens during the week rather than the night before the game.
What's your favorite food to eat?
Whatever's on the plate.
Yeah, I always had two hamburgers and a beer the night before.
I know Fred's favorite meal.
That was my
meal.
Midnight
you're,
snack.
You're obsessed about
Fred's
this.
Fred's favorite
stuff.
Meal,
yeah,
free.
Eating's important, yeah. But you know that, Bill. Right before a game, you've got to eat, right? The carbohydrates.
Hey, Bill, I know you talked a lot about Troy Brown the other day. And a marvelous 15 years when you think of when he came in the league, an eighth-round draft pick, undersized, and all these other things. But when you first got into the discussion and you needed him to play on the defensive side of the ball, wide receivers to me seem to be guys getting back to ego again. Seem to be guys that are.
Why'd you point at Pete?
I pointed at Pete. I'm sorry, Pete. I was pointing at myself.
That was a mirror.
Oh, all right, yeah.
They're the type of guys that like more of the attention. You know, offensive linemen, nose tackles, all right. They're more team.
We get shunned.
They feel differently.
Divas.
How difficult was that to get him? Because it doesn't seem like it was difficult at all to get him to accept, we need your help on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, no, it really wasn't, Glenn. It started in training camp.
And, I remember.
We were short on some guys there in training camp, and so we started giving, you know, Troy a few reps at the nickelback, and it really didn't come into play until the St. Louis game in 04, and that's when at the beginning of the week, you know, in training camp you do it, and it did come up in preseason, and then when we got to the St. Louis game, we said, you know, Troy, we need you. Then I think that's when it's like, well, you're serious about this, aren't you?
Did he go home?
But I think Rodney was out that game. I think Wilson was out.
That was the
bench. And then Asante, if I'm not mistaken, Asante got hurt on like the second play of the game, right in front of the bench. And so, you know, we were down to five or six DBs, and you know, we threw him in there, and he really played well in that game.
That was the Venturi fake field goal touchdown pass.
And touchdown pass to Troy. Right. Yeah. It was funny. We were talking about when Troy came in on before we had the press conference. We brought him in and for the whole team, and we kind of, you know, paid a little tribute to him and showed a little highlight film, and we showed the touchdown pass in Miami, the game winning pass, and that was, I don't know if that was his longest pass, but I think it was in his career, and maybe the hardest and maybe the most meaningful, because it clearly won the game. To the easiest one, which was the St. Louis fake field goal pass from Adams. So
nobody covered him.
He's just standing out there.
Oh, the other one was the San Diego game, where he played both offense and defense as he was a receiver. The interception, then he gets the ball back
and the strip.
That wins
he
that
stripped,
game. That wins the game. I mean, that's just.
Oh, the highlight film with Troy could have been two hours. I mean, just where do you start? Kick returns, block kicks, kick coverage, blocking, receiving, long passes, short
passes.
That's
a football player. They'd be able to do all those different things.
That's right. Yeah, when you go into the dictionary and turn to a football player and you see Troy Brown and you see Teddy Bruschi and you see Mike Vrabel, and it's, you know, their pictures just that. I mean, he's a football player.
When you go see food, you see a picture of Fred Smirlis, chicken wings, right?
But at our restaurant,
Canada Friend Steve's. You know, it's the intelligence, a guy that can take in that much information and not, you know, get stymied by it. You know, to learn different things and taking coverages and reads and all that stuff. There's a reason why Diossi played linebacker, but because nose tackles had to learn coverages. But there's not a lot of guys that can take that amount of information and make correct, you know, the correct reads and correct calls.
Well, right, I mean, I think the good thing about it is, though, because Troy played the slot position on offense so much that when he played the nickelback on defense, which is that same slot position, I think he understood conceptually a lot of what that guy was doing. You know, when he would tighten his split down, when he would widen it out, back off the ball. You know, a lot of the little tricks that those guys would use there were the same ones that he used, and I think that sort of helped him with it. But the thing about it is, to play that position, he had strength and quickness and great hands on offense. I mean, that's really what made him a good slot receiver, was he was strong and he was quick, and he caught the ball away from his body in tight spots. Well, defensively, to have that same strength and that same quickness to be able to match it against that type of receiver, it was really a good matchup and a good fit for him. So he was kind of the perfect slot defender, perfect slot receiver.
I see here where you're going to spend some time tomorrow with some little local kids here at the Showcase Cinema Deluxe, watching The Express, which is, you guys probably know, is the real story, the Ernie Davis story.
Yeah, it's
supposed to be a terrific movie, and The Express is going to sit and watch the movie with the kids.
To that.
Yeah.
Was it a contest?
I don't know I don't think it was a
Yeah,
contest.
I won. I got to go.
Yeah. A half day off.
But to get an opportunity to talk to the kids.
We just read it. I don't know if they're just some kids off the street, or how they determine
I think it's three or four different Boys and Girls Clubs and a couple of some middle school
kids. That's exactly what it is, Bill. Boys and Girls Club of East Providence.
You were supposed to say that.
San Miguel School in Providence, Boys and Girls Club of Woonsocket, the Boys and Girls Club of Taunton, Watertown.
Sudbury.
Her in middle school.
Fred just wants to know how to bring his kids.
Truckload of kids.
It'll be interesting to hear what the kids have to say, because I doubt very few of them really know the whole story.
Right.
Ernie Davis, and of course his life cut short, and leukemia and the whole works, but it'd be interesting to see how they feel about the movie. They just watching the previews, it looks like it's going to be a terrific movie.
Looks fascinating. Yeah. No, I think, actually, Glenn, I think Fred was supposed to do it, and then he backed out.
Why do you hate kids?
You know how some
had to wear helmets.
You know how some superstars want certain color M&M's? Yeah. Fred just wanted chicken wings, and they refused.
No,
they
chicken wings.
I want chocolate-dipped chicken wings. I wouldn't
do it. All right, let's do the coach's question. The CleanEnergyAction.com coach's question of the week. This week's question comes from David Marchione of Woburn, Massachusetts.
I know him.
And David asked, I think I know the answer to this one already. When would you prefer your bye week fall? At the beginning, the middle, or the end of the season?
It is what it is.
Whenever it falls, it falls.
Pete, you want to handle that one for me?
We just play the schedule.
Shut your pie hole.
If it falls in week three, then we're in week three. If it's week eight, it's week eight. If it's week 15, it's week 15.
He's got that speech pattern down now.
I couldn't put any better myself.
Has your friend in Alabama called you this week to brag about his big win over Georgia?
You know, I actually talked to Nick before the game. I haven't talked to him since.
Go into that environment and destroy that
I'll
team.
I'll tell you what, though. The second half was an adventure.
That third quarter was an adventure.
They couldn't get a first down in the third quarter, but they had the big lead.
A lot of garbage yards, but they destroyed them in the first half.
Yeah, they did a good job. They got a lot of young kids playing, and looks like they're playing pretty well.
USC is the best team. One bump. That's why you need a playoff system. You know, they have some Cinderella team. You know, it's always the first two teams at some fat slot.
Kind of like Lincoln Sudbury losing some small school.
What's wrong?
It's like Lincoln Sudbury.
Let me read this? We can move on. Fred, thanks. More food. Every Patriots money this year, when we talk to the coach, we'll give you a chance to submit your question for us to ask the coach at WEEI.com's football page. If your question is chosen, Pete will answer it. You'll automatically win a $100 gift card to the all-new Davios at Patriot Place. The coach's question is powered all season long by CleanEnergyAction.net. When you log on to cleanenergyaction.net, you're going to find that a strong wind can do a lot more than push
except
that
wind blow you
through the uprights. You got that right. Tackle your energy cost and alternatives at cleanenergyaction.net today. We're not going to see you for the next couple of weeks, Bill, because we won't be going to the West
Coast. We may follow you out. So, unless you have security, okay. Then we can get in.
Enjoy. Good luck out there, and we'll be talking to you by phone next
week. All right, sounds good.
Luck,
okay. All right,
luck,
thank
coach.
You.
Have a good trip.
Have a good trip.
All right, thanks.